This is DW News, live from Berlin. The US admits it did kill civilians in a Kabul drone strike. After initially claiming the attack in August targeted Islamic State militants, the Pentagon now says it killed 10 civilians, including 7 children. Also on the program, who will succeed Angela Merkel as German Chancellor? With just 9 days to go until the country heads to the polls, a new survey suggests that change is coming to the EU's biggest economy. I'm Phil Gale. Welcome to the programme. The US military has admitted it killed 10 civilians in a drone strike in Kabul on the 29th of August. Initially, the Pentagon defended the strike as necessary to prevent an attack on American troops by Islamic State militants. A short while ago, US Central Command General Kenneth McKenzie described the incident as a tragic mistake and offered his condolences to the families of the victims.
Moreover, we now assess that it is unlikely that the vehicle and those who died were associated with ISIS-K or were a direct threat to U.S. forces. I offer my profound condolences to the family and friends of those who were killed. This strike was taken in the earnest belief that it would prevent an imminent threat to our forces and the evacuees at the airport, but it was a mistake, and I offer my sincere apology. As the combatant commander, I am fully responsible for this strike and this tragic outcome.
Let's bring in DW's Washington Bureau Chief for more on this breaking story. Welcome, Enos Pohl. How did the US get this so wrong?
We're just learning today, Phil, that they have been observing this car for 8 hours. That's a long time. And I think that, again, is a proof that the intelligence, the U.S. intelligence, is not well enough prepared to handle Afghanistan, that they just do not know enough to really conduct drones like this fatal one.
Well, the Pentagon continued to defend the strike despite U.S. media reports last week that casualties were all civilians. So why did it take them so long to admit what really happened?
Well, Phil, we have to keep in mind that this comes at a moment when President Joe Biden is in really hot water anyhow regarding the withdrawal from Afghanistan. He is criticized not only by the Republican Party, but also by his own party members about the chaos. And this fatal drone strike killed 10 people, 7 children, 2 toddlers. So this is just horrible news, and it really looks as if they really waited as long as possible to confirm these media reports.
Well, so as you say, this is more deadly chaos related to that decision from the Biden White House to withdraw U.S. troops from Afghanistan. So what sort of blowback is this likely to have for the president?
Well, this will deepen the criticism and that will probably open up a bigger question. Are drone strikes really the right answer to fight terrorists when you don't have enough people on the ground really to confirm, to do the work, actually, of the intelligence? So this will open up a huge discussion and make the life of President Joe Biden even harder.
So, well, Innes, so 10 people are dead now, and an American general has come on air to say, we're sorry. Is that it as far as the United States goes? We're sorry and we just move on?
This is unprecedented that a general is so outspoken about it. I don't know if you, Phil, remember something that blunt as we heard today. He's taking full responsibility. But no, this is not enough. And we have already people saying, demanding actually, that not only the Pentagon, but also the White House and Congress have to respond to that and might have to rethink the military strategy when it comes to countries like Afghanistan.
Thank you for that. Enos Pohl in Washington. Let's go to Kabul, where we join France Marty. France, this news is still relatively new. Talk us through what reaction there has been to this admission from the Pentagon.
here in Kabul, it's the middle of the night, and as you said, the press conference is not even an hour old, so reactions are few. There have been some on social media, for example, a man that is practically a Taliban spokesman was displaying this just as proof that this time where there was scrutiny, it came out that civilians were killed and that like dozens or hundreds of drone strikes that happened in rural Afghanistan were same or similar mistakes, but there it just never got out. In some cases, he's certainly right, not in all cases, of course. But yeah, this is likely, these kind of reactions likely what will come from Afghanistan, that it's not the first mistakes, that a lot of such mistakes happened in the past.
And at the time when this airstrike happened, were there reports there, were there rumours there that the strike had hit the wrong target?
It was pretty soon, almost immediately after the strike, there were reports that civilians were killed. Also, the day after, there were first media reports that already detailed that children were killed, names of victims. So this was pretty soon clear. On the other hand, in hindsight, it's always easy. I mean, on the day of the strike or the day after the strike, I received from a trustworthy source that, like, ISK members themselves were talking about that one of their was hit. So, yes, there were reports about civilian casualties, but there were also other reports. And, with time, it is always easier. But, of course, as the Pentagon acknowledged, it was a tragic mistake and shows the difficulties with these signature strikes, striking a target which they don't really exactly know who he is, just because of some patterns and movements that military deems suspicious. This is really like an extremely difficult fine line to walk there. That's what the Pentagon tried to explain today.
Okay. Franz Marti in Kabul, thank you. Now, France is recalling its ambassadors to the United States and to Australia after Canberra scrapped a major French conventional submarine purchase in favour of nuclear-powered subs built with US technology. Foreign Minister Jean-Yves Le Drian said the scrapping of the French deal was unacceptable behaviour between allies and partners. On Wednesday, US President Joe Biden infuriated Paris by announcing a new Indo-Pacific security alliance with Australia and Britain, extending US nuclear submarine technology as part of the partnership. France will lose a €31 billion deal to supply French-designed submarines. Now we'll take a look at some of the other stories making news around the world, starting with the US Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, pledging to encourage more Arab countries to normalize relations with Israel. He hosted a virtual meeting with counterparts from the United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, Morocco and Israel to mark the first anniversary of the so-called Abraham Accords. Blinken hailed the agreement's diplomatic and economic benefits. Thousands of migrants are camped out under a bridge that connects Mexico and the U.S. state of Texas. Many are from Haiti. They're waiting in squalid conditions for U.S. border officials to process them. Thousands more arrivals are expected in the coming days, the latest migration challenge for President Joe Biden. A new UN report shows the world's on the path to rising temperatures unless governments make more ambitious cuts to greenhouse gas emissions. In a virtual meeting, UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres said a 45% cut in global emissions by 2030 was needed to reach carbon neutrality by mid-century. South Africa's top court has rejected former President Jacob Zuma's bid to have his 15-month jail term overturned. Zuma was sentenced in June after refusing to testify at an inquiry into allegations of corruption during his presidency from 2009 to 2018. Now, there's just over a week to go until Germany goes to the polls, and the candidates to succeed Chancellor Merkel are in a tight race. With voters deciding on key issues like the pandemic, climate change and the economy, the last major pre-election polls suggest the vote will be close. Armin Laschet's CDU, that's also Angela Merkel's party, is still trailing the Social Democrats and their top candidate, Olaf Scholz. And Annalena Baerbock's Greens have slipped further behind the major parties, even though she started the campaign as a real contender for the top. So let's see where those parties stand with just 9 days to go. Well, the numbers are about where they've been for the last few weeks. The centre-left Social Democrats, SPD, there they are on top in red, 26%, holding on to their surprise lead they've had since August. Angela Merkel's centre-right Conservative bloc, CDU-CSU, shown in black, 22%, up a couple of points. And they're in third. The Greens have slipped to 15%. Their hope of unseating the two big parties for the first time looks increasingly unlikely. Now, this is the most uncertain election in modern German history, and if parties under or outperform their poll values just a bit, it could have a big impact on who actually makes up Germany's next government. Now, earlier, I spoke with DW's Hans Brandt and asked him if it was unusual that none of the major parties is anywhere near the 51% they would need for a majority.
It's not unusual in the sense that we've always had coalition governments in modern Germany since the Second World War. But normally what used to happen was that one of the larger parties, either the Social Democrats or the Conservatives, would cooperate with a much smaller party. And most of the time that role was taken by the business-friendly Free Democrats, cooperating either in one government with the Social Democrats, in another government with the Conservatives. Then the Greens came onto the scene, and around the turn of the century, the Greens cooperated as junior partner in two governments with the Social Democrats. Nowadays, the party landscape has become so fractured that in recent years, the only majority possible was the so-called Grand Coalition of the Conservatives and the Social Democrats together. That time is over, and we're now going to have a coalition with three parties, that's for sure. And the mathematics, the arithmetics get very complicated from that.
And it was complicated the last time, wasn't it? The last election, it took 3 months to form a government. So are we looking at a similar sort of length of time this time?
Yes, I think people are anticipating that. It's even possible that Angela Merkel will still give the New Year's address, the traditional New Year's address at the end of the year. She might still be in office in an interim capacity by then, if a government has not been formed by then. And that's a concrete possibility. As I said, it will have to be three parties. And what's decisive is which party is the strongest, because that party traditionally is given the first chance at forming a government. So if it is the Social Democrats, as seems likely at the moment, then we might have a left-leaning government. If it's the Conservatives, then it's likely to be a more conservative government. But most likely, all governments will include the Green Party.
Right. And what about the AfD? They were a shock entrance in 2017. Were they a protest vote, or are they likely to do well again this time?
It was a protest vote 4 years ago because of the refugee situation. The refugee crisis had developed in the years before that, and that gave this right-wing populist party a very, very strong push. It was on a roll at that time, and it was a bit of a surprise how well they did. It now looks as though they've consolidated their support. They are not doing particularly well in the polls, but they seem to be at around the 10% level that they are likely to keep. And that makes the situation even more complicated, because no one is going to form a government with the AfD, so all the other parties will have to find some sort of consensus amongst themselves.
OK. Thank you for that. That's very clear. Political correspondent Hans Brandt. Quick line of sport for you. The New Zealand men's cricket team have suspended their tour of Pakistan over security concerns. New Zealand were expecting to face Pakistan in the first of three one-day internationals in Rawalpindi before receiving a security alert. They haven't provided any details of the threat. Pakistan have played most of their home games in the United Arab Emirates because of security fears. Here's a reminder of our top story at this hour. The Pentagon says a drone strike in Afghanistan last month killed multiple civilians and not Islamic State extremists, as was originally claimed. The strike was carried out after a terror attack against Kabul airport. The US Army is now saying that the attack was a tragic mistake. For world news at the top of the hour, Daniel Winter has your business update in just a moment. Have a good day.